Well, friends, I'd like you to turn with me, please, to the Word of God. And we're turning, first of all, to Acts chapter 16. And we're going to read some verses from that chapter. And I will try and be as quick as I can and get through this. I don't want to give you a whole life's history, otherwise we'll be here maybe next year, but we'll try and be as quick as we can. Acts chapter 16, reading from verse 25. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Just want to stop there for just a moment. It says, and the prisoners heard them. You're blessed, my friend, with ears to hear. And you've heard the old-fashioned saying, don't let it go in one ear and out the other. But let it go in this ear, or that ear, whatever's your most hearable. And let it stop for a moment in your brain and think about what God's saying from His Word. Because it's vital that you're saved. Now, I'll find my place here again. Okay. Verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, notice, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. That's the rest of the family. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Then there's a few more verses I want to just mention. Genesis 31 and verse 13. And it says there, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. And then a Psalm 103, verse 21 and verse 22. We read these words. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's just have a moment of prayer, please. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for thy holy word, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the blessing of being able to read it in our own mother tongue. And Father, we thank thee that there's no confusion with thy word. We thank you for the old-fashioned King James scriptures, Lord. and for the wonderful prose that we read. And Lord, we think, Lord, of how, Lord, they wouldn't change Shakespeare. They let it stay as it is. And yet, Lord, thy holy word, there's so many, Lord, and so many perversions, Lord, and so many people wanting to change thy word. But Lord, we thank you for the nearest that we have in our mother tongue in the King James Bible. And Lord, we pray that you'd bless us together as we continue fellowship together. We thank you, Lord, for the breath that we have to talk about Jesus, the mighty to save. And Father, we pray now you'll shut us in with thyself for the remainder of the meeting. And Lord, we pray that the tide will rise. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us. For Lord, we're a bit like Peter, Lord, an ignorant and an unlearned man, really. But we thank you, Lord, for the way that you've taught us down through the years. And Lord, we pray you'll help us now. In Jesus' name we ask it of thee, and for thy sake. Amen. I know that there are people here tonight that have heard my testimony maybe a number of times. And maybe you're maybe thinking, we'll just hear it all over again. But you know, the Bible speaks to the psalmist David that he repeated himself. And so I'm going to repeat myself to those of you who've heard it again, and I hope God will still bless you nevertheless. But for those of you who haven't heard my testimony, I'm glad, friends, to tell you that I'm thankful to God I have a testimony to give. You see, I was brought up in the Presbyterian Church as a wee fella. I went to Sunday school. My mother reared six of a family. She actually reared, the first child died after birth, but she reared five boys and one girl. And we were all sent along to Sunday school religiously. We had to have the wee shoes, the wee boots polished. You could nearly see your face in them outside. You weren't allowed to brush them inside. And we had to have the spuds peeled and ready for Sunday, and that had to be done outside. And my mother was spick and span, and she would hardly let you sit down on a cushion. She was home proud, you know. But, however, there's no harm in having a good clean house. But, you know, my mother, dear lover, and I thank the Lord, she got saved a week before she died, before she reached 98. She's in heaven with my daddy. He's in heaven too. He got saved shortly before he died in 1945. But friends, that's just by the way. We were sent to Sunday school faithfully, and I'm glad we learned the scriptures from the old-fashioned King James Bible. Now, I did not know through all my learning as a little boy and all my repetition and recitation of the Word of God, I actually never knew anything really about being saved. I didn't understand. And there's an awful lot of people don't understand. I was kind of slow to learn, you know. And I've caught up a wee bit since it. But you know, friends, it's important for you to know that you must be saved to get into heaven. When I was a wee boy, something like your wee fella, what age is he, bro? Coming three. Well, I was a wee bit older, I was four, when I sang my first solo in the church, and I stood up in front of everybody with my hands like this here. You would have thought it was a wee angel. Some angel. I didn't know anything about salvation, but I was singing about the Lord. It was better to do that than sing about the devil, wasn't it, even though I wasn't saved? But friends, I was sent along to primary school and then to the intermediate school for just a year, and then I was sent along to boarding school. And that was away down in Dublin. And I was away from my mother and the rest of my family for a whole year. And then the next fella to me, he came down the next year, and the youngest fella came down the next year. But my sister, she was there at first. But you know, it was an awful place for me. I used to think it was a terrible grip. However, while I was there, the first day I was there, this man came down these big steps, and I was going up the steps, and he took one look at me and he says, "What are you doing?" That's an awful way to talk to a wee fella of 11 and a half years of age. And the life was stirred out of me. And that was my first day at the school. However, I was very slow. And you know, friends, we had to learn, oh, the subjects were crazy. Algebra, mathematics, geometry, Irish, French, and go on, you list all the rest of them. We had to learn all these subjects. And you know what, I was trying to learn one subject, the rest of them were all taught. In other words, what I've said, I was slow to learn. But algebra, I couldn't make head nor tail of algebra. I couldn't understand it. And the master, he thought I was being twisted and crabbed and ill-mannered. And he used to hit me with a big ruler on the wee knuckles. And then a big blue blister that was on them. And that's the kind of place it was. But I could not do my homework. He sent me to do homework under one big light in a big hall that was nearly bigger than this church building here. And there I was looking at this big light above me, and I was to do my corrections, and I hadn't a clue. And I tried to tell the teacher that I didn't understand what he was talking about. However, he sent me to the headmaster and told him that I was being stubborn and wouldn't do my homework. But I couldn't do it. But the headmaster, he made me bend down, took the pajama trousers down, and he walloped me 12 big whacks on the poor wee bottom. And there was big warbles rose up on me like that, as thick as my thumb. It's a big thick thumb, you know. And I want to tell you, I didn't think it was funny at the time. I cried and I cried and I cried, and for 2 weeks I couldn't sit on a seat properly. So you see, that was the boarding school for me. However, I left school, hallelujah, at 15 years of age. But before I left, I thought, I'm going to get my own back here. And I took a man's scooter, and I wakened up my next younger brother. I said, "Hey, Albert, come on, get up quick." I was going home to the north from the south. He says, "What are you going to do?" Now, I wouldn't recommend you to do this, but it just shows you, you see, you don't hammer people and get away with it. And what I did was, I got my brother to give me a bit of a push in this wee squitter, for that's what your man called it, a squitter. And when we were down the side of this building, there was just a wee narrow pathway just about the width of the bike. There was an old wall, and had to keep my hands away from the wall, or I got the knuckles cut. And we went down, and it was bucketing with rain, a bit like Northern Ireland. It was bucketing. And there was this hollow in the field, and there was a barbed wire fence, and it was kind of half broken. And Albert, he says to me, "Sam, what are you going to do?" I says, "You'll soon see." And I heaved it into the big corner where the water was, and all you could see was... And you know what I'm going to tell you, I have to be honest with you, I really thought that was brilliant. But however, friends, you know, I felt somewhat I got my own back. Anyway, started working in Northern Ireland, and then after a period of 2 years or so, I went to work in England, and I worked in the rag and bone trade, and I worked for a big company called Austin Reed. And I wanted to get back to Northern Ireland. You know what it's like, you like to get home. And I got a transfer from there to Belfast, and then there was another opportunity come up to manage a shop. And I finished up in Coleraine managing a wee shop, John Tantle, some of you might remember, in Coleraine here. And whenever I was there, I had a young assistant. Maybe you're here tonight, that young fella. I don't know where you are or not, but this customer came in and he says, "I'm looking for a singer." He says, "Our lead singer," he says, "fell out with us. And we had a bit of an argument. And he says, we need to get a new singer right away." So the young fellow says, your man can sing. So I started off to sing with this group called the Kentucky Four. They had made a record called The Bridge. And it was about that lovely bridge they called the Lovely Bridge in Belfast. However, that was the first introduction I had to pubs and clubs. My friends, the devil's places don't satisfy. And I know that and have known that for 43 years and more. However, I moved to Ballymena after some time, and I met this fella called Tom McGrath, and he was a brilliant guitarist. And the two of us, I continued working in the rag and bone trade or the drapery business, and Tom was a powerful guitarist, and he and I started up together. And you know, I was a bit of an outlig, you know. Now, I'm glad I've got a good sense of humour, and I can still make people laugh, and I thank God for that. But it's a wholesome laughter. It's a wholesome laughter. My friends, while we were in a particular place in Bershain, here didn't this crowd of women come in through the door, and they were having what you call a hen party. That is a celebration with women who come together and had a bit of a party, and I was the man who was doing the entertainment. And of course I looked at this wee lass and I says, "Oh, hello, my darling, my dear, how you do?" Well, friends, you know, that wee girl, we finished up, I was able to track her down, and we were kind of fond of one another. But she had arranged to go to Palermo in Sicily on a 3-week holiday. And when she came back after that, you know, I never wrote as many letters to a woman in all my day, and I'm not a good letter writer. However, whenever she came back after her vacation, we got engaged 2 weeks later. That was love, wasn't it? Love found a way, I tell you. We got married, and 2 years later we had our first son, Grant, and then 2 years later after that we had our second son, Alan. And while we were living in Ballymena in this little apartment, there was this man came to the door one night, and you called him John Thompson. He was a brethren evangelist. He's since gone to heaven, but I thank the Lord for him, because he came to the door that night and he says, "We're running a mission down in the Harryville Gospel Hall. You'll come along now, won't you?" Doesn't that sound very persuasive? Well, of course, I just opened the door a little bit and I said to him, I had absolutely no notion of going. But you know, the Lord had a better plan. Because my wife, you see, in her time, she was brought up to know that she needed to be saved, and she understood. She used to go to wee mission halls, and she understood what was meant by being saved. But she kept putting off. That is, she kept saying, "Aye, maybe some other time, maybe some other time." Yet God says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." So that night, Betty took the tracks. Away she went to bed, and as she read one of those tracks, "Where Will You Be in Eternity?" I'd actually said, "Where Will You Spend Eternity?" You never spend eternity. You'll be in eternity. But however, she read that track, and God brought her under the conviction of sin, for she knew she was a sinner. I didn't understand even that. I thought I wasn't a bad fella, that my good would outweigh my bad. That was what I was depending on, my good works, making people laugh and all sorts of stuff like that. However, thank God, that night on the 14th of February, my birthday. Yes, I'm a Valentine baby. Some baby. Well, thank God, Betty got saved that night. And the next day she got up, she started to preach to me. And she said, "Sam," she said, "if you drop dead the way you're living," she says, "you'll go to hell." I said, "Shut your mouth, woman, or I'll fire it over the veranda." That was an awful thing to say to any woman. And I got a lovely wife, and I love her very much to this day. And you know, the only separation I believe in there is she's down at home there tonight, she's not feeling so good, and I'm here. But I tell you this, we've been married all them years, and we've had ups and downs, but I got a choice wee woman, thank God. You see, God used my wife to talk to me to talk a bit of sense to me. And I didn't even understand what was meant by having a soul. She said when God made man, he breathed into man a living soul. I didn't understand that. I thought it was a bit like a fly and you kill it and that's it. Dust. But God said that when God, or Betty says, when God made man, he breathed into man a living soul. So within you and I, the real us is within these bodies of ours. The real us is within these bodies of ours. These bodies of ours are the temple surrounding our soul. And my friend, once I understood, Betty said to me, she said one thing, she said, Sam, she said, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross. I says, I didn't ask him to do that. And neither did. But he gladly went to the cross and he died on the cross for my sins. And thank the Lord, as the Holy Spirit of God gripped me, God gave me the grace and the ability and the good sense to come to him. And I never forget that night when I came as a sinner to Jesus. I started to cry, friends, and I cried and cried and cried. I was literally breaking the heart because of my sin, putting the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And as I was weeping, I asked the Lord to forgive me for my sins and to save me. And the Lord did that right away. The moment the Lord saved me, I started to laugh with joy and happiness. You see, the Lord, the light came in, and the devil, the darkness went out. And thank God for the joy of God's great salvation. And if it wasn't a joyful life, I wouldn't be here tonight. I wouldn't be here tonight talking about how wonderful God is. But I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. The night I got saved, friends, I committed my life unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have known much blessing and still know much blessing. But whenever I got saved, friends, I was so happy about it, I wanted other people to hear the good news of the gospel. And I have never shut up since it. I've been telling people near and far about how important it is to be saved. You see, before I got saved, I was dead. Spiritually dead. If it had not have been for the Holy Spirit of God awakening me, I would have no life. No spiritual life. And friend, if you're not saved, you're dead. But God wants to give you life and he wants to give it to you more abundantly. He wants you to be happy like I'm happy. After a while, friends, at that time, I was going to the Presbyterian Church and we asked the minister, the Reverend Eric Gardner, to keep clear of the ecumenical movement. And he just ignored us. He didn't want to know. However, to cut a long story short, I used to mitch and go to the Waveney Road, which was the Ballymena Free Presbyterian Church, and I heard a gentleman, and not a bit of wonder he's called Gentleman Jim, the Reverend Jim Beggs, and I heard him preaching, and you know what I'm going to tell you, I got some food for my soul through that man's ministry, and I thank God for that. There was a congress announced in Scotland, the First World Congress of Fundamentalists in the Usher Hall in Edinburgh, and there was a man preaching there, a man by the name of Roy Thompson. He was an independent Baptist church from Cleveland, Ohio, and he was preaching about separating from the World Council of Churches and the ecumenical movement. He was preaching against cults, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, somebody called them Jehovah's Sicknesses, that's just really what they are. And you know what I'm going to tell you? As our brother was preaching about these people being so enthusiastic about going round the doors, giving out their magazines and so on, and them not saved and not on their way to heaven, and they were full of enthusiasm. Here was I, on my way to heaven, and I was deeply burdened for souls. And I thank God for that. Friend, what about you tonight? Brother and sister in the Lord, have you lost the vision? I'm not saying you have, but I hope you haven't. Because, you know, we can lose the vision. I remember one time that I actually got weary and well-doing. That's what it is. And sometimes we can get a bit like that. But my friends, you never know, the next person that you're talking to could be the very one that could come to this house and hear the word of God and get saved. Wouldn't that be brilliant? So when our brother was preaching about all these cults, I was sitting in the congregation and I was weeping because I wanted God to use my life to the full. And so I surrendered my life there and then, open to God's service. Sometime, I'm not just sure exactly, in my early 30s, there wasn't much money in the rag trade, so I thought I'll have a go at welding. I was reared in a farm, by the way, and I was used to hard work from a wee fella. And I took up the fitting and welding, and I qualified in it at Wright's, the coach builders in Ballymena. And you know what happened? The next thing was, I got my left leg and ankle broken. Mind you, it was a lot more sore than a funny bone knock. Wasn't funny at all. But friends, I had a great opportunity as I was lying on the broad of my back in that workshop to preach the gospel to different people there that worked in the place. And this burden for souls was so deep, friends, I realized that I needed to be taught of God. And while at one of our Easter conventions in Martyrs in 1979, Dr. Paisley made an appeal for students to be trained in the Whitfield College of the Bible. And there was an appeal made, and I held back. Though I knew I needed to be taught of God, I just wanted to be absolutely sure that God was calling me to full-time service. And anyway, I thank the Lord. I applied to the Whitfield College of the Bible and was accepted and commenced my studies in 1979. The Bible says, I'm sure you've heard this verse many a time, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I found the study and friends really tough, and at some times it was very, very distressing. Sometimes it was very depressing. But nevertheless, God helped and gave victory, and we graduated in 1982. Then I started full-time door-to-door work, and God saved some here and there, thank God. There was a fellow who was an alcoholic, a fellow called Billy Spence, and thank God Billy got saved, a Ballymena fellow, and I heard he's still going on well for the Lord. Thank God for that. I'm glad it was God that saved him. And that's only God can save, of course. However, this leads me then on to 1986. I headed for the US of R, America. Now, friends, it's nearly time I was quit. That's a tar, isn't it? Anyway, when we got to America, the Reverend Frank McClelland, I was invited, Reverend Trevor Baxter and I, and the both families were invited down into Marietta, Ohio. They arranged 35 meetings for us, and we were singing and preaching all over the place, and the Reverend Frank McClellan was down, and he was taking a special meeting there, and he passed a comment to me. He requested that if I was interested in going to Canada to do door-to-door work. So I just indicated to him that I was, surely, if that was God's will for me to do that. And then 2 months later, I got an invitation to go to the Toronto 10th anniversary services, and the mission board okayed it, and there I was jetting for the third time over to the States and Canada. I had great kinship with the people there, and the board of management asked me several questions in regards to evangelism. Then I had come back to Ulster, and I prayed, and with my wife and I, and we prayed and read God's word for his divine leading in the work of God. Anyway, friends, we went to Canada, worked there, with the joy of leading some souls to the Lord, which was the main purpose of going there, that we would lead souls to God, and we know that they're still going on with the Lord. And then there was a little bit of a hiccup, and there was a little bit of a difference. However, when you have a difference with your family, you don't disown them. And I thank God that I pray for the work of God in Toronto and for all our churches. However, I was going across the road from where I was living in Canada, and I took a step. You know what it is when you go across the road, and I took a step, and I stopped suddenly. And I said to my wife, very, very slowly, I said, "Betty, there's something wrong." And it was a warning. My heart started to give me bother. And they later diagnosed that I had three arteries blocked and one was blocking further. However, they did a few tests and balloon tests, and they put a wee stainless steel spring in the main artery. And I was told when I came back to Ulster, where I came back home to Ulster, I wanted to be near my mother. She was growing on in years and she wasn't saved. And we returned to Ulster. My youngest son, he stayed in Canada and he married there with three grandchildren there. And I want you to pray for me youngest wee grandchildren there. She's just over six. And I want you to pray that God will help her to walk. She's got cerebral palsy. And she's a lovely wee girl. Her brain's good, but she still can't walk yet. And would you pray that God will help wee Sarah Grace to walk? But thank God wee Sarah Grace one day got home from the meeting in Toronto, and she said to her mum and dad, she says, "Mum and dad, I want to get saved. I want to ask Jesus into my heart." And thank God wee Sarah, a week later, she gloriously asked Jesus into her heart and got saved. So my three granddaughters there are saved, my son is saved, and his wife made a profession of salvation, and I think she needs to be prayed for at this time. However, my other son, he liked Canada just for a bit of fun, but he returned to Ulster and he didn't really want to live in Canada, so he's living over here. And he made a profession to come back to the Lord about a year ago. So pray for Grant. His nerves aren't so good. Sadly, his family broke up. His marriage broke up. And he has two lovely daughters and a lovely young son. So pray the Lord will save those three young children. And that's that. However, friends, when I came back over here to Ulster, I wasn't too good. I came off the plane in a wheelchair and thought I was going to die. And I remember seeing the specialist in Belfast, and I told him that I sing for the Lord and I preach for the Lord. And he says, "Well, you're not allowed to do that anymore, sir." Well, you know, I sing for I cannot be silent. I preach because God told us to preach the word. And you know, I'm not really seeking to be disobedient to that man who gave me that advice, but I felt different than he advised. And for 18 years now, I've been singing and preaching all over Ulster. And I've just finished making, this is a pun for a DVD, of a new DVD coming out, and I make no apology about it, because I'm trying to revive the old-fashioned hymns that are in our hymn book. There's a lot of songs today, and they're like rock and roll. And I believe in the rock, but I don't believe in the roll. Unless the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. But you know, friends, I'm so happy to be saved. And there's more I could tell you. But time has beaten me. And I hope you've got a gist of what I've been saying. I love the Lord with all my heart. And I would say in the borrowed time that I now have, that I'm more zealous for God now, because God has renewed a right spirit within me. And I love the Lord. I love the Lord because
He hath heard my prayer and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. And how long am I going to live?
Praise God.
We're going to live for all eternity with the Lord. Isn't that a good one? We're going to be living for all eternity with the Lord. That's provided you're saved, friends. But if you're not, listen, would you do, I was going to say, would you do me a wee favour? But no, do God the very best that you can do. Friend, repent of your sin. Repent. Turn from your wicked ways. My mother, she was full of pride, and pride kept my mother back for 90, till she was, I said there a while ago, she got saved when she was almost 98, a week before she died. And thank God she got saved at the last. But you know, friend, this could be your last tonight. Even when you're sitting there, the very breath you're breathing could be taken from you. And that's I can't create fear within you. Only the Holy Spirit of God can do that. And may the Spirit of God, as he speaks and strives with you, for God says, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. And so while the Lord is calling you, come unto him, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, God says, and I will give you rest. You seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Thank God, friends, if you repent of your sin and ask him to forgive you and save you, thank God he'll do that, for he shed his precious blood. That's what it cost the Lord to save your soul. He had to go to the cross, and he shed his precious blood. And my friend, he suffered agony and pain to take away our guilt and our sin. So may I leave that with you. Don't wait till you get home, but ask the Lord to save you now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Now we're going to sing our closing hymn. It's number 293. 293. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I want to thank Sam for singing for us and for testifying and for challenging our hearts about winning souls for the Lord, and also for bringing the gospel to those in the meeting tonight. And if you're not a Christian and you're not saved, what a wonderful opportunity God has given you tonight to be in this meeting, and the simple presentation of the gospel through song, through testimony, and through the word. And if you do turn unto the Lord with all of your heart, the word of God's clear that those that seek the Lord shall find him, and those that confess their sins shall be cleansed, and those that call upon the Lord shall be saved. And salvation's a wonderful thing, and who knows how much time we have left. We were at a meeting on Friday night, and somebody just brought a little text of scripture, Lord, teach me how short my time is. Time is short, and time is fleeting past. And what a wonderful thing it would be if you were to just come to the Lord tonight, just as you are, and he'll save you, he'll wash you, and he'll make you clean. Let's sing this hymn in closing. We're standing as we sing. Make it the prayer of your heart. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. We'll sing the first two verses standing as we sing, and then at the end of it, if you just remain standing for prayer. But let's stand together, 293, verse 1 and verse number 2. Of the gates of life, in the way of the cross I live. Father, tonight we rejoice that the way of the cross leads home. We thank, O God, of that little boy who was lost and he was able to say, "Take me to the cross. I can find my way home from there." O God, we pray that the Spirit of God will bring people to the cross tonight. O God, we thank thee that there they will find mercy and grace and pardon and peace and love and assurance and hope. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. O God, we pray that it would please thee, Lord, to save precious souls. We thank thee, Lord, for the messages and song. What a blessing they have been to us. We thank thee for thy servant, for saving him and for keeping him down through the years. And O God, we pray that even in these days I will continue to bless him, his ministry, remember his family, remember, Lord, those people that he's reminded us tonight to pray for, some of them not yet saved. Bring them, O God, to thyself. And we pray for little Sarah Grace. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst touch her. And Father, we pray that you'll put your mighty hand upon her little body. And Lord, enable her to walk with the Lord and to walk physically. We pray, Heavenly Father, that thou wilt bless us now. Speak on to every heart and life. And Lord, bless the good things provided to us. Help us to eat and drink to thy glory. We pray in the Saviour's name. Amen.